PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso, now on the PFT Radio Network. Thanks to those wonderful bastards at PFT Media for bestowing the honor upon us of getting to join their... I know, it's me. It's
pat yourself on the back there a little more, buddy.
I gotta because that's how you self Heimlich, right?
So are you?
I chewed off too much and I'm choking on it, so I'm patting myself on the back to try to get it up. That's not how that works.
Are you pulling the whole Kevin thing where he talks about how much he loves his overlords when he's his own overlord? Back when he was doing SPK Live, the podcast, he would be like, "Yes, our overlords are blah 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 this and blah 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 that," and it's him.
Yeah. Learn from the best.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Learn from the best. Yes, that's exactly right. Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespity. So I've been super busy lately, obviously, with all this, the PFT Radio Network and all this other stuff, and as well as other things with life. So we've been slacking a little on the bonus episodes, not for lack of trying. I have sessions set up for the spoiler bonus episode for War for the Planet of the Apes, which we've now talked about, I think, on two or three different podcasts, so I don't think that's ever happening.
No, that's not going to happen.
And I have the Valerian post set up.
Well, we've got to see it first.
We haven't even seen the movie yet.
we've got to see the movie before we can review it.
So time is rough these days, and we're doing our best, but we want to give you a quick bonus episode here. And to start that, we are actually going to do an email that we received kind of late on Sunday. It didn't make it for the Vox Populi, so we're going to do it now. Juicer, go ahead and take it away.
Got an email from a homeboy, Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He's got reviews. What is it? How is it? Two greats and a shit burger.
Two greats and a shit burger.
That's the name of the email.
Okay.
Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Just wow. When seen on the biggest, loudest screen possible, Dunkirk isn't a movie. It's an experience. Not since Saving Private Ryan has there been such a bone-rattling, deafening, horrifying depiction of war. Nolan's camera work is amazing as ever, and the use of sound, and especially the score to ramp up the intensity in what are already profoundly intense scenes. He makes you feel this movie as much as you watch it. It's breathtaking. The narrative flow between the three settings is a bit weird, but once you wrap your head around it and compensate for the time jumps, how one day can equal 1 hour, It kind of makes the storyline even more compelling as you follow each of the characters to their own unique journeys.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's a magnificent film from a magnificent filmmaker, easily the front runner for all the big awards. We don't usually see that from a summer release. Oscar season is going to have to put up some real heavy hitters if they want to have a chance at beating Dunkirk. Oh, and Harry Styles is a bit of a dick. 4 out of 4 stars.
I'm assuming he's me and Harry Styles as a character.
Maybe.
Or maybe he met Harry Styles. He's not telling us about the behind-the-scenes stories of what a dude was like in real life.
Maybe he's a dick.
Maybe he's
I mean, he's a pop star. It would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Now you're being a pop starist.
Yes, I am.
You're being celebritist.
Fuck those pop stars.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The thoughts and views of Juicer Cogburn are necessarily the thoughts and views of PFT Media. What else have we got from Scott?
Appreciate it. Big Sick.
I just said they are.
I'm not really a fan of the romantic comedy genre, though I do have a few faves. Serendipity, Notting Hill.
Mm.
Notting Hill? Pretty Woman.
People love Notting Hill.
I mean, I get Pretty Woman. I get it.
Yeah, everyone wants a hot hooker with a heart of gold who's actually not really a hooker because it's her first job.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, the greatest of all time, Die Hard. Yes, it's definitely a rom-com as much as it's a Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. I will fight anyone who tries to say otherwise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That said, I think Big Sick might have just taken the championship belt away from Die Hard on my own rom-com list.
Oh, shit.
And in sublime fashion. It's both hilarious and heart-wrenching. The interplay between Ninjani and Kazan mm-hmm. and Romano and Hunter mm-hmm. is fantastic. The stuff with Ninjani's family is equally good, and the fact that it's all based on their real-life relationship makes the movie so much more resonant and memorable than a typical romantic comedy. I cannot recommend Big Sick enough. 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Wow, all right, yeah, well, I've only read good things about it. Actually, the only thing I've read in the negative with Big Sick is that it's a little long because it's 2 hours. That it's just a little long, but otherwise, that's great. And one of the best things I heard about it, this was a Doug Benson review. He said that every joke lands throughout the entire movie. So
sweet.
That is a hell of a compliment.
Mm-hmm. And last but certainly not least, Valerian and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no. Is this a shitburger?
I'm so sick of Luc Besson.
Oh.
He did one truly great thing. One. The Fifth Element. Which,
no, Leon the Professional. He did two truly great things.
I was about to say, and The Fifth Element, great? Yes. Quote, unquote, truly great? I don't know about that.
I would actually say Leon's better than The Fifth Element. Fifth Element is more popular.
The Fifth Element, I mean, it gave What's-Her-Face her start.
Natalie Portman, yeah.
No.
Oh, Fifth Element. Mila Jovovich. Yeah.
Which is all well and good, but those fucking, those stupid plastic-faced monsters.
Plastic-faced monsters, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the plastic face monsters.
Lame.
Oh, now they're going to see a bunch of CG ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Or let's see what he says about Valerian.
One, The Fifth Element. It was amazing, and it's still one of my favorite sci-fis. It's rewatchable to no end. And while Lucy was all right, when Lucy is your number two resume credit, as in from the director of Fifth Element and Lucy, you know you've had a pretty shit career. Well, Valerian does nothing to bolster Besson's resume. It's beautiful, and that's all. I mean, that's all. And somehow they even managed to fuck that part up. For a movie that is so heavily marketed itself on its visual spectacle, see it in 3D. The 3D effects aren't so ravishing, and the glasses, as they always do, mute the otherwise brilliant colors on the screen. Dahan and Delavigne are woefully miscast and poorly written, especially our titular hero. Dahan's Valerian looks way too young to be believable as the experienced badass warrior Lothario he's said to be. And while I enjoyed their whomper improper in a workplace relationship, why the fuck is marriage proposed so early? That made it all too serious. The banter would have worked a lot better if done in a more platonic will-they-won't-they style. Sure, it's cliche, but who cares? There's a plot in this movie, but again, who cares? I literally can't remember it. And there's even a bit of moral to the story, but Don't Commit Genocide is nowhere near as clever as The Fifth Element is love. The best part of my Valerian experience is when a thunderstorm rolled through outside, caused a power outage for less than 2 minutes, and I got a free ticket. 1.5 stars. Take care, guys.
Got a free ticket thanks to a passing thunderstorm. All right. Yeah. Interesting. Well, you didn't like Valerian. I guess we're going to see it and see what's up with that.
It doesn't surprise me that it's a giant stinking pile of shit.
According to Scott, and apparently he doesn't like Luc Besson very much at all. So,
and as long as it's got some pretty makeup on, I don't really care if it's a big stinking pile of shit.
Well, let's see. We'll find out.
Yes, the whole Fifth Element is love. That's pretty epic.
Yep.
I mean, God damn it, everybody. I mean, the casting in that movie was fucking fantastic. The Fifth Element. It was good, but it's not great.
Good, but not great, so saith Drewster Cogburn.
Yes. Correct.
All right. But Scott says it's truly great.
Yeah, good for him.
But everything else that Luc Besson has done is not good. Mm-hmm. All right. There we go. Now we know where you guys stand.
Everybody has an opinion.
Everyone has an opinion. Some of them stink like assholes. How's the saying go?
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
Opinions are like assholes. They're all weird to look at.
I mean, yes, that too.
All right, let's get into some quick movie news here. You hear about, this is a movie news, but I just want to bring this up. You hear about Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago?
Excuse me.
They did Pokemon Go Fest all over the world.
Okay.
All sorts of meetups. But the biggest one was in Chicago. And it's like an official thing put on by the company that did the game, right?
Sure.
So many people showed up to Chicago for Pokemon Go Fest that no one could play the game because they're overloading all the servers, and it was just a colossal clusterfuck.
All showed up and couldn't play
because there were too many of them.
Hilarious,
hysterical. That's what you get for being popular, guys.
Yeah,
that's what you get for being popular. Mm-hmm. So going from Pokemon Go Fest, continuing with movie news, to Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Do you remember in season one, Game of Thrones, Emilia Clarke? She's a Daenerys. Daenerys?
Uh-huh.
Daenerys?
Yeah.
She has to eat like a heart or something. They give her, Khal Drogo gives her something.
Yeah,
and she's
got to
eat it.
It almost looks like some sort of formed gelatin or something.
All right, well, here we go. According to Emilia Clarke, someone asked her about it. She says, "It was very helpful to be given something so truly disgusting to eat, so there wasn't much acting required. They made the heart out of solidified jam, but it tasted like bleach and raw pasta. I ate roughly 28 hearts throughout the days we filmed that scene. Fortunately, they gave me a spit bucket because I was vomiting in it quite often," end quote.
At least I was right.
28? This poor girl, get the shot on your first try. You owe it to her.
Yeah.
So, like this is terrible. You're going to make her do it 28 times? Yeah. Like, whoever did that is a fucking asshole.
I better just, you know, sadist.
Yeah, an asshole. Same thing.
You don't have to be an asshole to be a
sadist. In that case, if Emilia Clarke is not a willing masochist in that situation, then he is an asshole. I'm assuming it's a he, because dudes do that kind of thing. It reminds me of DiCaprio in The Revenant. Uh-huh. He had to eat that buffalo liver.
Yeah.
The raw liver. Mm-hmm. And that was a real raw liver.
Yeah.
And,
which is totally okay to eat.
Right, but in the movie, though, and I think he's a vegetarian, too, because in the movie, he starts eating it, and then he starts, like, gagging. Oh, he almost throws up right there on the snow, and that was, like, 100% real. That was a real reaction. You want good acting? You stick your actor in the fucking tundra of Canada and make him eat a buffalo liver.
Act! All right, that was good. Fantastic.
That man deserves an Oscar. He bit into a buffalo liver, a raw liver. Get that man an Oscar. Okay, let's get into some serious, some actual movie news.
I was about to say serious?
No, let's get into some movie stuff, real movie stuff. Here we go. Netflix.
Maybe movies?
They're in the movie game. Uh-huh. Bright was coming out, that Will Smith movie, which will be coming out directly to Netflix.
Which may or may not be any good.
And they want to, Netflix has been trying this now for, like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2.
Yeah.
Right? Which I saw and it was meh. They want to do, the movie comes out on Netflix the same day it's in movie theaters. The problem is, a majority of movie theaters are owned by like four or five companies.
And they don't like that shit.
And they don't want to play that game. So they're not allowing movies to be played in their theaters, so it's almost impossible to find these movies in theaters, right? It has to play somewhere like at the Enzian.
Yeah.
Okay. Christopher Nolan will not work with Netflix. He doesn't care about creator freedom or how much money they have to throw around. He sees them as almost the enemy of what he's doing, which is trying to preserve film and cinema.
Because Netflix is digital. It's
digital.
It is digital.
It's yes, from top to bottom. Now, when the stuff they're producing, they're not shooting anything on film.
Of course not. They don't need to.
Right. They are the antithesis of what Christopher Nolan's all about. So he's like, I would never work with them. You know who you may work with? Amazon Studios, because they observe that 90-day window. They've produced movies, and they let them come out in theaters, and they wait the traditional 90 days before it's available on Amazon Prime.
Sure.
So if any streaming giant wants to land a big fish, Amazon has that chance. No. They can... But he's got such a sweet deal going with Warner Brothers right now.
I was about to say, where they're just... He's like, I want to do this, and they're like, here's $200 million.
Here you go. Here's your money. And then at the end of the production, he's like, here's $25 million back. I came in under budget. Like, damn, you good.
And they're like, it's all right. You'll be getting the back end deal. So you'll get that money back.
Yeah, he gets that back end money anyway. That's so true. Speaking of the millions, $25 million. You know what that number is, $25 million?
What is that?
That's how much Warner Brothers is reportedly spending on reshoots for Justice League. Reshoots are not uncommon for movies, especially big movies. As a matter of fact, when a big movie is scheduled, they even schedule in the reshoot period.
But isn't this movie supposed to come out soon?
It's supposed to come out in November. This is a special case. Yes, absolutely. A very special case. It's usually scheduled.
It's almost September.
It usually only takes a couple of weeks, maybe 2 to 4 weeks tops. 4 weeks is a long time, and we're talking maybe $5 million tops to spend on reshoots. This is $25 million for such a long period of time that it is screwing with actor schedules. Warner Brothers has to work their Fantastic Beasts 2 schedule now in conjunction with the Justice League reshoots because Ezra Miller is in both. So they have to figure out. But fortunately for them, fortunately for Warner Brothers, they have both, so they can do that. Paramount, however, Drew, Paramount, you'll get a kick out of this. They are shooting Mission Impossible 6 right now.
Uh-huh.
You know who's in Mission Impossible 6? Henry Cavill. You know what his character has in Mission Impossible 6?
A mustache.
A fucking mustache. On Twitter, Christopher McQuarrie, who wrote and directed Mission Impossible 6,
I heard this story.
Yeah, he came out on Twitter and he was like, the only way we could put a fake mustache on Henry Cavill in this movie is if we stapled it to his face.
Yeah.
Because of all the action, they're putting his character through the ringer, apparently.
So they're digitally removing his mustache
in Superman, yes.
Yeah.
So if you're on the set for Justice League, you're looking at a mustachioed Superman, which is
That's so awesome. Someone needs to get a picture of that shit.
That's so funny. That's so good. As we all know, Zack Snyder has stepped aside due to
family
issues. Uh-huh. Joss Whedon, he of Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron, and who was already kind of consulting with them anyway, mm-hmm. and is also making their Batgirl movie for DC. Mm-hmm. He has stepped in. So who knows now how much more quippy everyone's going to be now.
Seriously.
Watch, all of a sudden Batman's going to start talking like, he's going to be super sarcastic.
And, it's so much fun. Watching Marvel succeed without even trying, and watching DC fail.
They're flailing
so hard.
Well,
and
we say
everybody's putting in.
We say that, but Suicide Squad did gross almost $800 million worldwide, Suicide Squad is, I think, Will Smith's highest grossing film domestically.
That's fine.
So it's not.
It's a piece of shit.
It's a piece of shit, but it's not an outright failure. You wouldn't call the Transformers movies failures when they're grossing $1 billion.
I can't call them failures, but I can call them giant pieces of shit.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We're establishing those are different things.
Yes.
So other pieces of shit that Warner Brothers has scheduled, some of these are going to make money, and some of them are going to fail, like truly fail. So let's see. After Justice League, they hope for Aquaman to be coming out. That's in production now with James Wan. Shazam is confirmed the next movie that will be going in front of cameras.
That could be fun.
And Dwayne Johnson is Black Adam, which is a character related to this whole Shazam thing. Suicide Squad 2 is scheduled to come out, go into production after that.
Don't care.
And The Batman, directed by Matt Reeves, still starring Ben Affleck after that. Justice League Dark after that. Joss Whedon's Batgirl. This is when we're getting to about 2020, 2021 time. Green Lantern Corps, which is reportedly going to be some sort of a buddy cop movie. Intergalactic buddy cop movie, maybe, but on Earth, because it's the two. It's Jon Stewart and Hal Jordan.
So, Thor Ragnarok.
Possible. Possible. I don't know if they're necessarily
intergalactic
going...
Intergalactic buddy cop.
I say intergalactic because it's Green Lantern. I don't know if they're necessarily going through outer space, but they can.
Like I said, intergalactic buddy cop, isn't that Thor Ragnarok?
Also confirmed for sure, even though they don't have a director at this time, the Flash movie that they're doing around the Green Lantern will be Flashpoint.
I mean, that'll be fun.
Yeah, that's what they're doing for sure. And we already discussed this. Their biggest hit so far, both commercially and critically, Wonder Woman gets its sequel, Wonder Woman 2. So there you go. DCEU movies. They have a game plan now.
I mean...
We'll see if they can stick to it.
I think... I think that DC as a comic book entity,
mm-hmm.
with all their subsidiaries and everything...
Yep.
Better storytelling.
Okay.
But... They just can't seem to... Why can't they...
I don't know.
Isn't it crazy?
Maybe because they're...
Why?
I don't know, because they got Jeff Johns. Jeff Johns is in charge of everything over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like...
He
knows what's up. He's like... He's the Kevin Feige analog for DC.
Yeah.
And he has just as much smarts and just as much chutzpah and know-how. And he should be doing it just the same. Is it called Zack Snyder, who I still like as a filmmaker despite my my gut reaction now. He was in charge of so much.
I think that was the problem.
Is that the problem?
I think that was the problem.
But then Suicide Squad was bad. But was David Ayer was an interesting choice for that movie. And apparently... Not the best one?
Obviously.
In hindsight?
Well, I don't know. Fuck. Who are the people writing these movies? That's what I want to know.
That might be a thing where you look it up and you see, oh, there's a problem. There are 25 writers credited to this thing. That's why they stink. Who is writing them?
Who's writing these pieces of
Affleck brought in his guy, Terrio, to help with Batman vs. Superman.
I mean,
That didn't help. And Zack Snyder is... he wrote... Batman vs. Superman. But like I said, they brought in Joss Whedon. I think it's a too many cooks situation. too many cooks. Jumping to Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We're saying they're doing it right, but it wasn't all a smooth ride.
James, I'm sure it wasn't.
Remember Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2? What do you think was the nightmare scene for James Gunn to shoot? It was just a nightmare for them to try to get done. Big wild movie, outer space.
I know.
Huge effects.
I know.
So many
actors. I know.
All these crazy sequences. There's that opening battle. There's all the ego stuff at the end.
I'm trying to think. I got it. Whatever.
Remember in the beginning when young Kurt Russell was wooing Star Lord's mom, and they're driving down a country road in a convertible. The shot of them driving down the road in a convertible was a nightmare to shoot. A complete nightmare.
Cool.
And it had nothing to do with the young Kurt Russell either. Nothing to do with that.
What was the car?
It was, they had two versions of that car. Both of them broke down. And they had one day to shoot that scene on that country road.
Because they're like, it's a country road. It's fucking 30 seconds of film. It won't take more than a day. Keep going.
The entire day, they almost lost the sunlight. Actually, a number of shots that they did shoot ended up not being usable because it was too dark. So, complete nightmare.
Yep.
James Gunn has said that shooting, not his favorite part of making movies.
Obviously.
Yeah. For some people, that is their favorite. Yeah. For others, not their favorite. Very interesting. Sticking with Marvel, Thor, Ragnarok, directed by Taika Waititi, written and directed by Taika Waititi, who has done a bunch of improv comedy. Mm-hmm. His whole career has been based on improv comedy. Mm-hmm. So when he went to work for Marvel, he figured they were going to rein me in.
No.
They're going to rein me in.
No, Thor. Somehow Thor is the funny frat bro.
Yeah, dude. Well,
I don't know how it happened.
He was waiting for a call from Kevin Feige and from Marvel, and it never came. Not once. He estimates 80% of the dialogue is improv in Thor Ragnarok.
Awesome.
Which is
fucking amazing.
His style, too, of improv involves him standing next to the camera and not only letting the actors do stuff, but then throwing out suggestions for them and also how to say the lines and everything. And his quote was like, he has no problem giving Anthony Hopkins a line reading. Yeah. He had no problem with that whatsoever.
He's like, Anthony, I need you to, no, this way, motherfucker.
Like, say it like this. say this. And Anthony Hopkins says it. So you got that? Great. Moving on. So that's very interesting. So we'll see it. Man, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I really am.
All right.
I never thought I would be excited about a Thor movie. I never thought I would even like Thor.
I know.
And all of a sudden now he's like,
I'm so excited.
I know. It's so weird.
I'm so excited. I mean, yeah, I should be looking past at the Black Panther, but like, no, it's Thor. Let's do this Thor thing, man. This is going to be great. All right, getting away from comic book movies now. Blade Runner 2049. You know how they convinced Harrison Ford to sign on?
I don't know.
According to the director, Denis Villeneuve. Quote, the first thing they did, talking about Alcon Entertainment, people who bought the rights recently, the first thing they did was approach Ridley. They said, we are able to do it and we love to do it with you. And Ridley came back to them after 15 minutes and said, fly to London now. So they met with Ridley. Ridley had a lot of ideas because the thing is, this is interesting, when he, Ridley Scott, did the first Blade Runner, what he told me is that he had the desire to follow Deckard on other stories. This was a universe that was open. You had a detective living in the future. This was not the intention to be just one movie. The desire was there. It's just that so much shit that happened on the first movie that it froze there. He thought it was dead. So they went to Ridley and they went to Hampton Fancher, the screenwriter, and both of them had the idea to do a sequel. And as soon as they got the idea, they phoned Harrison. I think at the early stage of screenwriting, they asked him, because without Harrison, there was no movie. And Harrison said yes, so they developed the script. Harrison was there before me, the director. I didn't cast Harrison. I had to be approved by Harrison. That's a different thing. Blah, blah, blah. And then he had to meet Harrison. He had to be scanned by him to make sure that he was Harrison Ford approved. That's how he put it, Harrison Ford approved.
Mm-hmm. They had to make sure that he wasn't a replicant.
So they brought in Harrison Ford in the very beginning, asked him if he liked the story. He said yes, and then they gave him tons of control in terms of who could direct it and work on it, et cetera, since Ridley Scott wasn't doing it.
It's awesome.
So there you go.
The more I see of this movie, the more I want to see more of this movie.
I know. The trailers are so good. Man, I can't wait. Soon.
Yeah.
Very soon. James Cameron has a quote about the Terminator franchise, and as anyone who follows Cinema Crespedito knows, anytime anyone mentions anything about the Terminator, I gotta report on it. Wow. I don't even know why. I'm just compelled to. James Cameron. He says, so I am in discussions with David Ellison, who is the current rights holder globally for the Terminator franchise, and the rights in the United States market revert to me under U.S. copyright law in a year and a half. So he and I are talking about what we can do. Right now, we are leaning toward doing a three-film arc and reinventing it. But he continues, the question is, has the franchise run its course, or can it be freshened up? Can it still have relevance now, where so much of our world is catching up to what was science fiction in the first two movies? We live in a world of predator drones and surveillance and big data and emergent artificial intelligence, end quote. Mm-hmm. So, if anyone is to determine whether or not there's a future in the Terminator franchise, I think the right guy is looking into it, right?
Yeah.
Then again, he did go on a media tour for Terminator Genesis. He's like, this movie is great, it's a brilliant, blah, blah, blah. I'm super excited about it, and it was the biggest turd of all the turds.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
It was the turdiest turd of them all.
It was.
Man.
Mega turd.
Alien franchise?
Yes.
Remember, Ridley Scott was going to do a whole bunch of them? Uh-huh. He had a follow-up to mm-hmm. Covenant. Alien Covenant made less than $300 million worldwide.
Ooh!
So Fox is now pumping the brakes. You hear that squealing yep. sound? Mm-hmm. That's that big rig hitting the brakes hard. Those cool. air brakes.
So, didn't Neil Blomkamp have some ideas?
He did, and he said recently that that was dead. But now Fox may be like, you know what, Ridley? We may want to go with this direction. What do you think, dude?
Because, I mean, it's not... People are obviously still interested in the alien universe
yes.
and the xenomorph
yes.
and the scary oh my god stuff.
Yes.
So,
but Alien Covenant was not that well received, and it had even milder, more lukewarm word of mouth than Prometheus.
Well, and you want to know why? It's because it was billed as we're going back to the scary.
We're going back to the alien.
Wasn't.
It was more like we're following up on Prometheus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
They kind of dropped the ball in the marketing a little bit there, maybe.
So, I mean, Ridley, I love your work. You do great work. You do fantastic work. I like most of your movies. I think it's time for you to just let go of your baby.
Give it up.
Let it go. If it comes back, then it's yours.
Yes.
If it doesn't, then it never truly was.
Exactly. If you love someone, leave them. If they come back, they're drunk and they're lonely.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. I like that advice.
Mm-hmm.
We'll end the show on that advice. Thank you, Drew.
All right, welcome.
Where can people find you online?
At antihero419 all over the internet.
And make sure you go to pftmedia.com. The website's going to be updated very soon, maybe by the time you guys are hearing this. Check out all the new shows we have. There will be adding more. I have a big announcement for a new show soon. It's super exciting. Episode 238 is this weekend. We're going to have Rocky Soka from What's the Fuss, fellow PFT show... PFT radio show. I know. And I'm improving this. I'm vamping.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta go. I'm going to go check out Simon Time Trivia. Check out the Simon Time Trivia show on PFT Media. It's a lot of fun. Steve Chicago was on it. And thanks, everyone. We appreciate it. We're out of here.
A PFT Media production.